Welcome, everyone. This is Wise Women, a podcast that Gary Null produced to bring wisdom to the people that are eagerly awaiting the wisdom from people that we have chosen. We've had some wonderful guests on our show. We're very grateful for all of them to be part of our show. I'm your host, Kathleen Francis, and today we are actually speaking to a wonderful young woman from India. She is in from India, and she is going to be sharing some wonderful information with us. We wanted her to come on board specifically for the purpose of informing us about a wonderful organization that takes care of the disenfranchised animals in Goa, India. And her name is Reshma Gattar. And so with that, we may welcome her. Reshma, welcome to Wise Women.
Thank you, Kathleen, for having me. Thank you very much. It's a pleasure and an honor.
Thank you. Yes. And what time is it there in India?
Well, it's half past midnight. So it's like 2nd of November already.
Oh, my goodness. Well, here we are. And I was reading about, now, you're from Pune.
Originally, yes.
I spent 6 months in Pune in 1980 and 81.
Oh, wow. What a nice time to be there, I think, huh? It's changed a lot.
Mm-hmm. No, I suspect. Yes, dear friends of mine were Vinod Khanna, who I'm sure you remember, he's the actor and he was also in Parliament, and Kabir Bedi. Very, very dear people in my life. Kabir is still very active in hosting various events and still does some acting and such. So he's an influencer for sure. In fact, I reached out to him to ask for support for WAG. So you are quite the yoga teacher and have done some amazing studies. Let's start with that. Can you share a little bit about your background, Reshi? Is it all right if I call you Reshi?
Yes, please. yes, everybody does. So I actually come from a fitness and health and wellness background, but yoga kind of happened in 2010 when I returned back to India from Australia. And so my life took on a very different turn. I didn't think I would be getting into yoga. But anyway, I started my training with Shivananda. But somehow, I don't know, I need answers. Not to every question, but I wanted to know why we were doing something. Or I was fascinated. Oh, I am fascinated with bodies and working with bodies. And there's a science to it, but there's also a certain magic to it. And so I started, I was really, really blessed then to find my teacher, Leslie Kaminoff. He's actually from the US, but he comes from the lineage of Krishnacharya and Deshikachar. Which is now based in Chennai, the school, they're no longer in the body. And that's how my journey started. And now I try and do more one-on-one work with people. So I'm more into therapy-based work. And and so my fascination train people and educate. So I'm also a yoga educator, and that's why I started doing a teacher training course so that I could bring these authentic techniques or share rather and learn as I go as well, because you're always a student and you never know everything, do you? So that was the reason I started doing this. And hopefully, I mean, let's see where it all goes now, but I enjoy doing. Apart from the work that I do with WAG, so
we do learn forever. It's something that Gary Null really races. You'll always hear him, "What did you learn from that? What did you learn from that?" Mm-hmm. we're certainly in a very bizarre learning curve on the planet at the moment. We're never quite sure. Yeah, it is. But I'm very eager to know more. Do you teach online as well or just in person?
Yes. So at the moment, after the pandemic, I started doing more online work, which has pros and cons, but it's also easier for me to connect with a worldwide audience because I've always traveled a lot and I've had people from different countries, as students and also my teachers, from different countries. So it really makes it a really good platform for me to right now. Of course, I do miss the personal touch, which I like to work with when I'm with people. I like to have that personal touch, but yeah, I mean, there's always, like I said, pros and cons to everything. And since with regards to my background, also when I was in Australia, I worked in the field of social work. So I was working with domestic abuse and, child abuse and family violence and domestic violence. And therefore, this understanding also, or rather working closely with people, I always enjoyed that, but also understanding how the bodies react to certain things, how they respond to certain things. And also now I'm kind of developing a more trauma-informed approach where you could, work with people in that population. Per se, also in India, it's a very different culture. So I don't have access to that kind of work more as I did when I was abroad. But I'm looking to kind of do more work with that now slowly. I don't know. I'm still trying to find my way as to how to, get in the doorway.
There's a lot. Gary just did saw a wonderful, Gary Null did a wonderful online event. And he has his show every day and with really valuable information. But how would people get in touch with you? I mean, this show will be heard all over the world. So people could, see you in person as well. But how would they reach you?
I have my website, which probably, I don't know if you would share it with them. Should I say it out loud?
Yeah, or maybe please share do. It? Mm-hmm. Go ahead and share it.
www.athahamindbody.com. So maybe I should spell Athaha, which is A-T-H-A. A for alpha, T for tree, H for hat, A for alpha, hatha, Athaha. mindbody.com. And my email is Reshi, R-E-S-H-Y, my surname Zathar, D for Delhi, A for Alpha, T for Tango, A for Alpha, R for Raja, ReshiZathar@gmail.com.
Beautiful. That's good.
Do you need a WhatsApp? Your WhatsApp number.
What is it?
A WhatsApp number, if you need. But
oh, the WhatsApp.
Yes. Does that work?
That's a good way. Sure.
Yeah. So you would have to add a +91 as the country code, and then the number is 830-832-5264.
Beautiful. Good.
Thank you.
Yeah. Now, the work that I first became acquainted, even to connect with you, was through WAG. Tell us about WAG, sweetie.
Right. So, to begin with, when I think of WAG, I always think of Atul Sareen. So he's the founder of WAG, and WAG stands for Welfare for Animals in Goa. That's where we are in Goa. So before I start talking about WAG, let me just introduce Atul, maybe, if that's okay.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah, so Atul is the founder of WAG, and he's of Indian origin, but was born in Kenya in East Africa. And then he moved to the UK with his parents when he was 13. So while on holiday in Goa, he witnessed the suffering endured by the stray animals, and that affected him very deeply. And consequently, he decided to permanently move to Goa in 2005. And he gave up a successful business in the UK and decided to just come to India and live here and start helping with the situation of stray animals in India, in Goa especially. And since then, he has never looked back. So I don't know how many know of this, but Goa is a seasonal economy. So beaches are deserted from, say, May to October, November, leaving many stray dogs and other animals stranded, facing starvation and, you know, abuse and just disease. So when he came here, he started off by beach feeding, organizing a beach feeding program for the dogs, and slowly then started rescuing a few stray dogs and cats. And then he also soon realized that there were up to 20,000 stray cattle, if not more, on the streets of Goa. Abandoned by their owners mostly, and they face similar difficulties to stray dogs and cats. So he started rescuing cattle as well. And with this in mind, a small NGO, which is a non-governmental organization, was set up in 2012, reporting dogs and cats for sterilizations and adoptions and rescuing stray and injured cattle. And since then, we have, or rather WAG, has grown into a cattle sanctuary and a fully functioning veterinary rescue clinic. So our shelter provides a home for injured and or rescued cows, goats, pigs, chickens, pigeons, parrots, cockatoo as well. You name it, we have it. Here they receive medical treatment, healthy food, and of course a home to recuperate, recover. And it's really, it's beautiful to see how they all kind of just live together here with us. And WAG's rescue clinic houses inpatient dogs and cats, and strays who have faced the harshest lives on the street finally now have a place to rest and heal. And thank you to Atul for really having this beautiful idea, and not just having it, but he's doing this now for the last 15 years or more. And Atul is really very passionate, not only about reducing the stray animal population and saving lives, but he also pioneers new programs to ensure sustainability of the charity and long-term goals of enhancing animal welfare. Where I would also, and I say that because we are not funded by the government, and we depend largely on our kind volunteers, our donors and supporters. And I really like to, you know, take the opportunity to thank them on this platform for helping us to be the voice for the voiceless, you know, in every way that one can think about. So, yeah, so that in short is what WAG is doing day in and day out. So we always noble, open.
Yeah, it's a noble effort, and truly he must be such an amazing man with such a big heart to take and divert his entire direction
Absolutely.
Of his life. To
Absolutely.
Have compassion for sentient beings that have no voice.
Yes. Kathleen, may I say that in this world, I don't know how many know, but, you know, everybody is wanting to move away from India to a land of better opportunity. Maybe it's the US or Europe or UK or the UK or whatever else, which is more developed. But here is a man who left everything, his successful business, everything that he had, he left behind, and he's just here doing this work. And I think that itself, he's like a gift for us, to be honest.
Yes, for sure. And I hope that, you know, you have sufficient volunteers. I tried to send donations myself, but because of the, there was difficulty in the exchange rates or whatever it was.
Yes.
So what I do every month is I do send from Amazon cat food and the various ways of sending food for the animals and bandages and things like that that are just now on a monthly basis that I send this. And it, you know, and the exchange with the dollar is such that just really for a very little money, you can make such a powerful impact by setting up an account with Amazon. Anyone that can do that, even if it's $5, $10, $20, if you can do more, that would be great. But even a small amount makes such a big difference. And I know that people might understand the difference between rupees and, you know, it looks like it's charged in rupees. It looks like it's a lot of money, but, you know, 400 and something rupees is only like $12 or something like that.
Yes.
So,
yes.
You know, if people could find it in their heart to extend themselves to give some support to WAG, because I don't. And what will it take to get the government support as a nonprofit? That seems unreasonable to me. But then there's a lot of things that are unreasonable in this world right now, you know?
Yes.
What can be done? What can we do, a campaign of pressuring the government? What is possible?
Do you mean like, what would you think people could do to help more,
are
you asking from a government? Okay, so
both.
Let's talk about. Okay, so maybe I'll start off with people,
sure.
If that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Kathleen, a lot of the time people need encouragement, and unfortunately, in this day and age, it's become a low priority for many people to reach out and help people in need, let alone animals in need. Of course, it's changing. I'm talking mostly of India at the moment. It's changing, but very slow. So very often, it's sheer ignorance and lack of empathy, to be honest. So a lot of it, I think, also has to do with the country, the culture, the resources available, the mentality, the traditional beliefs about animals here. And also, I would say, the superstitious notions about them, you know. So I guess it's not a very simple question to answer. But having said that, however, very often there are people who want to help but don't know how to go about it. Like myself, I was very clueless about it, in the beginning, even before I entered into this kind of work. So even though we have rules and laws in place to protect animals, they are often ignored and not given priority. So therefore, it becomes even more difficult for those who really want to help, and they don't have access to right information or the right people or the right kind of organizations that they can contact or, you know, approach to help this kind of work. So I think that's very important to get the right information out there, to know what organizations to contact. Also, they very rarely, even there are people willing to help also, but very rarely do they get any help from the authorities. So I think it is crucial to educate people about, you know, not just these things, but also about the myriad different ways that they can help at animal shelters, because not everybody knows what kind of work is done at animal shelters. You know, they only think that, oh my God, now, you know, I have to go there and I have to look after an animal, or I have to help with an operation or surgery or whatever. So they're not really aware of what stuff or what things can be done. So those who are highly sensitive and emotional with injured animals can maybe help with administrative work. There's so much to do, so much paperwork, so much documentation. Or they can help probably with feeding, or they can certainly put their special skills to use, like, you know, physiotherapy or alternative healing techniques. They can definitely come and help with our animals here. Many can provide social media help if they're good with social media, or they can help with fundraising. You know, there's always something to do, and lots of choices, like I said, myriad ways of doing that. And really, the most important, just spending time with the animals can be a huge help. Because in our daily routine, I'm talking about the staff, the permanent staff who work at the shelter, it's really, really very hard to spend more time with the animals, just cuddling them, grooming them, talking to them, just being with them. That is so important and necessary. So I think, Kathleen, these are a few ways that people can really help, or they can do more to help.
Yes. And all of those categories are very important. I mean, could some of those activities, certainly the fundraising part, could be done from anywhere in the world?
Totally. As you said, For like people from abroad, we have the Amazon wish list at the moment, but soon we're trying to get, you know, we're in the process of getting, the documentation done to accept foreign currency.
Yes, that's very important.
So hopefully that should be, that's the agenda for next year, because there's so much paperwork for that. And you know how governments work. So, Oh my God, we have a little.
Yes, this is one of rescue dogs.
Oh my God. Is it a he or a she?
It's a little she.
And she's called?
She's called Tita Marie.
Oh my gosh, she's gorgeous.
She's my baby, that's for sure.
I can imagine.
Yeah, she's, this is, now I know so many people see the benefit and derive the joy of looking after these creatures that we're so fortunate to have gifts in our lives, but there are just as many people that just have no interest and don't see the point. These are little sentient beings.
Really?
I know how tuned in she is to me. She really, is just psychically tuned in. It's always an interesting phenomena. And I'm sure that you are very aware with your wonderful animals that you care for. But I mean, 20,000 cows, that's huge.
Yes. And I'm coming to what your next question, or you asked me about the government support. This again, I would definitely say is a very complex issue, because India is a complex country, as you know. I don't mean it in a bad way. I mean in a nice way also, because there's so many cultures, so many religions, and
it's a very ancient country with ancient and exquisite history so many ways. And I know that the cows in India are sacred. They still are, right?
Well, they're meant to be, because since you said that, Atul had moved to India as he had experienced the emotion of what I would say ahimsa, which is a Sanskrit word, which not just means non-violence, but it also means we have to respect all forms of life,
Yes.
And this is a dilemma in India, because it is actually practiced, this understanding of ahimsa, respecting all forms of life. This is actually practiced. You do see many people who are, you know, vegetarian, they love animals, they will try and do their little bit. But on the other hand, there is a lot of abuse and suffering happening, you know, like you said, oh, you know, holy cow, but that's only in the books and that's only when it's convenient, you know. Mm-hmm. So what is important, I think, for us to remember that India is the only country, I think, which in its constitution states that we should help and respect animals and that they have rights. So we need to encourage people. Yeah. It's interesting.
I didn't know that. That's wonderful. And it's you know, it's spiritually correct. I mean, I lean very much towards the Buddhist practices, and you know, I regret that I had to kill a couple of spiders that suddenly showed up here. But, you know, I make as much an effort as possible to put a glass around a bug and bring it outside.
Yes.
You know, because there is consciousness there. There's consciousness in everything. And that's a concept that eludes a great many people, for them to think that there's consciousness in a rock, you know, or a tree. Fortunately, there have been studies with plants. I'm sure you're aware of those things as well. And the impact of thought and music on plants was measurable. And certainly those people who have that, let's say, gift of empathy or intuition, sometimes it's painful. I have that myself since I was a child. And so, you know, if we all could feel the pain and the suffering of other sentient beings, then, of course, things might be different in the way that we deal with them. I myself, since I've been here, I've picked up over 30 dogs on the streets and gotten them back to their owners, you know, or such. And yet I wonder, I mean, how many people drove by that dog on the street that almost got hit by a car? And I'm the only one that stopped. I mean, I have a busy life too.
Yeah, totally.
You know?
Yes, I get that.
Yeah.
It's just
a human characteristic that we feel, I think some of us, if there was a way to get more people in a more compassionate frame of mind, it's difficult in a world that has gone insane.
I totally agree with you on that front. I mean, I do, like I was going to say, we do need to encourage people to maintain this beautiful concept of respecting all forms of life. It's not just about, you know, the actual act of killing. It's not just that. It goes, you know, there are so many other aspects to that, right? It's just compassion in all forms. And unfortunately, India has the highest number of stray cattle, the highest incidences of rabies, over 20 million stray dogs, 90 million stray cattle. And so I think it requires a lot more enthusiasm from government departments. So good relationships or relations need to be maintained between the NGOs and the government organizations, which is not done at the moment. So if they can work hand in hand, can you imagine how beautifully the situation will evolve and improve?
Yes.
But no, it's not happening currently. And fortunately, there are many good laws that exist in India to protect animals, to protect wildlife, to protect forests. But very often, due to corruption, greed, ignorance, apathy, and I would also like to add laziness, these are not implemented. So I think we would need to urge working committees to be set up to try and implement this. you know.
Yes.
So it's a big task, I think, and it's going to take a while.
I agree with everything you've said, and you know, the power of influencers, and that's why I'm really hoping that Kabir Bedi will listen to this podcast.
Yes.
And I ask him to please do what he can to be of influence to help you. In fact, I don't think we even give us some information on how people can go to the website, if you would.
So our website is www.wagoa, that is WAGOA.com.
And so it's just one G, WAGOA?
Yes, WAGOA.com. And okay. All the information about how to donate, what to do, or how else one can help. And if they're here in India and in Goa, they're very, very welcome to visit, so we can take them on a tour and, you know, show them and explain to them the things that we do there with our rescues and our, you know, in-house resident animals as well. So, yes, that's one way to go about it.
Well, maybe you could do a yoga retreat for the Americans that have great interest, of course, in that work.
Yes.
And part of what they could do is study yoga and then devote a certain amount of time each day to volunteer at WAG and be part of that wonderful effort that you and Atul are engaged in doing to help.
Yes, that would be beautiful. That's a lovely idea, actually.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, because, you know, trying to tie in things that, you know, are in your educated condition of effort and me being able to offer something where people can come and learn. It sounds like a very specific way of doing yoga. I have an acting student of mine who's also a model, and she is very involved with yoga. And she's also a very good, Becca Looney is my student, and maybe she could organize something in that regard.
Oh, that would be wonderful.
Yeah.
Because if you did see on my website, I don't call my that's a wrong choice of word. I don't call it as any yoga, like, you know, vinyasa yoga, hatha. I don't call it a type of yoga. It's just yoga is yoga. And for me, for my teachers, whatever I have learned is also about individual approach to even in a group setting and a breath-centric form of yoga where, because every individual is unique. So a pose by itself has no meaning, to be honest. Like a triangle is a shape, it's geometry, it's a shape. So to say that a triangle has this benefit or, you know, or this is what will happen if you do the triangle, pro, con, whatever, it's rather who does it, you know? So it's about the person. It's about the person who is going into that shape and how does then that affect that person, not just physically, but his breath, his mind, whatever. So that's the individual approach and breath-centric form, because there has to be, your breath needs to flow freely. There's no point holding something or doing something when you're panting or when you're just holding your breath. It needs to, you know, work in harmony with the body.
Yes.
So it's that kind of approach. So even in a group setting, what we do is I usually ask questions. You know, I don't say, oh, feel this. I mean, it's not right to anyway tell anybody to this is how one should feel, you know. Of course, you can guide them in a particular way. Of course, I understand that. But then having it more of an inquiry there, you know, what's going on here? What's happening there? You know, so that they start to kind of become aware of their own bodies. And that's exactly how we work with the animals as well. You know, we try, because they can't speak. The only way
right.
to communicate
yes. You said you actually apply your yoga abilities to the animals. Tell us about that. How do you go about doing that?
Well, Kathleen, to be honest, because we have so many, animals come in with either abuse or, you know, broken legs, broken limbs, fractured spine. I mean, with those things, you really need to have, you know, a physiotherapist come in, and then we work with them in the water or something like that when we have a water body available to work with. But otherwise, other things where it's just about understanding their body language, to be honest, to understand what they're saying to you, and they speak in volumes just by, you know, just looking at their tail, maybe looking at how the hair stands, or looking at these, you know, touching and just feeling, oh my God, they're shivering, oh my God, they're enjoying this. There's a language there, and every animal has a different language. So I have to say this because we had a goat brought in to the shelter, and she was shot with an air gun, and the pellet was lodged in her spine. And she could not walk. We tried everything possible, and I don't know what it was about. I mean, of course, I connect with every animal that comes to the shelter, but with her, we call her, or I named her Lucy. She was very special. And for some reason, I don't know what it was about her, I had this really, really special connection with her. For 3 months, I tried everything possible. Azul supported me in every way. He said, you just do what you need to do. I'm supporting you. You take her to whatever vet you want to take. We will get the resources, no problem. They had to make the decision of, yes, of PTS, which we say putting to sleep, to euthanize her. And we tried everything, and that was no life for her. And honestly, though, I was just spending hours with her, and I could understand, you know, when she would wince in pain or when she was enjoying something, she would just rest her head on my shoulder. She would really have a way of saying she's annoyed by just not, you know, she was so determined and so had such a strong will, but when she was annoyed, she had a way of telling you. She would just not let me do anything. She would just turn her face away, or, you know, these are little signs that you just
the
body. You know, she was special. She taught me so much about life, Kathleen, to just be, you know, love unconditionally. She taught me to feel and to enjoy the joy in that moment, to laugh. She was silly as hell and would make me laugh with her little antics. But she taught me what laughter could do, what tears could do. And every day, every moment, I was learning. And her will, her perseverance, her determination, you know, there was so much I learned in those 3 months just being with her. I learned about life itself.
I definitely understand. Goats are one of my very favorite animals. My first husband, we had, Bobby and I, one was worse than the other about loving animals. Well, one of our dogs got loose, and he went to the pound to find the dog, and he came home with a goat and with chickens and, you know, then, and pheasants. So then I was, you know, I was spending 4 hours a day just cleaning the pens and feeding all the variations of all these different chickens. And then we had rabbits, and then we had to have, you know, we had Billy, then we had to get Nanny. And so then they had, I was there for the birth of their baby goat. You know, I call them Tutti Matrella, and that's a name from back home. Somebody that, you know, it's a funny name. I just call them Tutti Matrella. And he would, you know, how goats just leap in the air so spontaneously. Yes. And I just loved that baby goat. Yes. I loved that goat so much. And it's just, what's difficult is to think that people would intentionally shoot something to cause harm. Yes. I mean, that they have so heartless a point of view that they don't care, that they inflict such pain and misery to something that's alive and has a consciousness. Mm-hmm. And that's probably the biggest difficulty in our whole planet, is our lack of compassion for each other, the distinctions of class, which I know you suffer in India, you know, these are things that it's all about consciousness, bottom line, and educating, and those of us speaking the truth into agendas that are definitely not favorable to any of us for the future of our well-being, whether we're human or animal. It's, you know, the elephants, I just, I cry, you know, sometimes. Yes. And the consciousness of, you know, some of the Chinese that, you know, collect all of this ivory, these ivory carvings for what? You can carve wood, you can carve anything, but no, you have to feel, you know, this need to feel superior, need to feel dominant over the, you know, to be dominion over other entities that occupy this planet. That's the problem. And, you know, I just...
Cultural beliefs, you know, and superstitions.
Cultural beliefs.
Questioned. And in India, especially, you can imagine like so many religions and each with their own, you know, like you said, belief system. And honestly, people just think of, you know, rescue. When they think of rescue or an animal welfare shelter, they're only thinking about dogs and cats. They do not realize that goats are also animals. Rabbits are also animals. All of them, they're sentient creatures. You know what I mean? So this need to educate and help them see that a pig is also, you know, they are also sentient
extremely
creatures.
Extremely intelligent.
Not just dogs and cats, you know what I mean? And so for this, I think, I don't know if one ever thinks, but another very important aspect and another reason for WAG to exist is also the hot topic of climate change. And quite rightly, what a lot of people are not aware of and governments all over the world shy away from is that more damage is done to the greenhouse effect due to agricultural farming. This causes more damage than all the vehicles put together in the world. People don't want to accept this. This is something we have to be aware of for ethical reasons, for economical reasons. And very simply, the answer is to consume less dairy, less meat. You know, however, governments and NGOs do are not giving this enough attention. You know, daily we are rescuing cattle that are injured and abused, cows, calves, simply due to the dairy industry. And people really need to just become aware how, like you said, how much it's greed versus need.
You know? Well, of course, Gary Null has been a champion of the vegan diet and has used this as part of his protocol to heal so many illnesses, And so it seems that the logical, correct way to engage in, you know, what it means to be a human being and to be a guardian of the planet itself. And the dilemma of this is certainly one that is inclusive of the economic machines that are in place, mm-hmm. for the dairy industry, for the meat industry, for mm-hmm. the various industries that are relying on the income for not a vegan diet, mm-hmm. clearly it is rather impressive to see how much more education has caused people to become vegan, to see the point. Mm-hmm. The supermarkets that carry vegan cheese and vegan butter and all of the things that yes. are required for a vegan diet are now very much available in the stores yeah. and online, yeah. and this shows progress. Is it fast yes. enough? No. Hard to say, but everything is interconnected, for sure.
Yes, yes, very true. And well, people tell me, oh, veganism is just another fad and it's the most, only rich people can afford it. But I'm like, I'm Indian. I live a very simple life. And Indian diet itself is like, if I do away with the dairy products, everything is vegan. Lentils, vegetables that we cook, curries that we make, the breads that we make, rice, everything is vegan. There is, unless you want to add something dairy into it, So it's really yes. easy, not very expensive to be vegan.
No, it isn't. I mean, of course, there are gourmet vegan this and gourmet vegan yeah, that.
I mean, that's a yeah. choice, but I don't know. I think when I speak to people, I say, I think we don't realize that every organism on this planet dies in order for a human being to stay alive. Mm. And the least that we can do as human beings is respect that, even if you're eating meat, or at least respect the fact that, an animal has given up its life for you. Just begin with that idea first. Every yes. organism, come to think of it, just for us humans to be alive. I mean,
yes.
And we call ourselves, the conscious thinkers or conscious beings or whatever, or higher superior beings or whatever the word is. And I'm thinking to myself, really?
I know. Of course, the American Indians always, whenever they would kill a deer or a buffalo, they always gave thanks and respect to that being when they killed it.
I mean, it's a start, but I mean, that needs to stop as well. But I mean, maybe slowly, the least people can do is stop, reduce their intake of
yes,
meat and yes. dairy and all these, and like you said, education around these things where, nutrition. Because they think, oh, I need to have this much amount of protein and I can get that only from my eggs or from my meat or from my dairy or whatever. But it's not true, is it? Because, mm-hmm. I mean, so many sports people now, international athletes, sports people, many, slowly there are so many vegan, sports people mm-hmm. coming, turning into vegan. Mm-hmm. So... it's not that
I actually have had some friends who are breatharians.
What's that?
They get their nourishment from the air.
Oh, wow. That would be something.
Yeah, I mean, I know people think that's crazy, but and one of them lived with me, so I saw it. She didn't eat.
Wow.
She was thin, but she was healthy. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what they did in the ancient times, didn't they? Like this, what we call as yogis, quote unquote.
Yes. Yes. I actually know of one teacher who is American, but spent a great deal of time also in Pune. And when he was in college, his professor told them that, you know, you could only survive a certain number of days without any water or food. And he went something like 80 days without any water, without any food or water. Wow. He survived. And he wasn't like, you know, on death's door. Or he decided to experiment himself and challenge what his professor told him. So how about that?
Yeah, there's so much, you know, and I always say, I mean, you don't have to go to, you know, one or the other extreme end, but just, you know, coming to this understanding and awareness that animals, birds, all species, they're sentient creatures.
Yes.
And they're beautiful. Like I said, they talk, they listen, they feel, they hurt.
Mm-hmm.
If you would just give enough time, if you could just spend a little bit of time with them, you know?
That's right. Well, Gary Null also rescues many animals. He has, you know, primates. He's got monkeys. He's got lemurs. Anyway, he has cows, and you know, yeah, he's also one of us.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if I could, and you know, I'm restricted with the, you know, the rules of my neighborhood, and my landlord will not.
Yes.
You know, I mean, it's pretty amazing that I'm allowed to even have three dogs. It's a big challenge to have even one dog.
Wow.
When you do a rental, you know.
Mm-hmm,
so mm-hmm. It happened when I was with my first husband that particular house that we were renting was actually a very large piece of land that was zoned for up to 7 head of cattle. So that's why we had all, and I, you know, we had a brooder and, you know, an incubator. And I mean, we kept getting more involved and more, and it was kind of crazy, really.
Yeah.
And so I find my former husband's name was Bobby. So I finally made a wooden sign that said Bobby's Funny Farm.
So cool. You know, you say this, and you know, if anybody asks me, you know, what do you like, what makes you happy, you know, the most magical moment of my day, of my life, is when I enter the shelter in the morning to see all those dogs running to you, to like, you've just met them, but it's like they're seeing you for the first time after years. Mm-hmm. All the cows, our rescue cockatoo who talks, you know, just to come to you and just, you know, make you feel so loved. That's like the best moment for me every morning. And it makes my day, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, if we only had human beings that got as excited as our pets do to see us.
Tell me about it. You bet.
You know? When I was a child, that's the way I would greet my father, with such enthusiasm. I just was, you know, one of those, I don't know, extremely enthusiastic children that found great joy in
everything. But we forget this as we grow.
Well, we become sophisticated, you know?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Totally. Well, and I'm like,
we're coming close to the end of our show. Would you once again remind people how to connect with WAG, please?
Yes. So they could go to our website, www.waggoa, which is WAGOA.com. And we have our email address on there. We have the Amazon wish list on there. And also our phone number, which probably for people from the US, it doesn't help to have. But the email is definitely there. So they can always connect with us. Or they can also write to me on my personal email ID, which I gave at the beginning of the show. Even if it is related to animals, or if they want to ask me something, they can write to me on my personal email as well, and I'd be happy to answer or help in whatever way I can.
That sounds wonderful. And that's Reshi Datar, R-E-S-C-H-Y-D-A-T-A-R at gmail.com.
Yeah, R-E-S-H-Y.
Is that what it is? R-E-S-H-Y-D-A-T-A-R. Okay, no, good. Yeah. I would have had Atul on my show, but he's the wrong gender.
Yes. But I did discuss female. With him. Yes, but I did discuss with him. So I just to make sure I don't leave out the most, important information about, how many, the number of stray cattle and how he started, because it's his story. And
it is.
His family now, almost like his family to me. And
oh, of course. And is there, does he have, is there anything that, like a lot of, I helped Tippi Hedren with her animal preserve, with Shambhala Animal Preserve in California. And they, is there anything on the website that people can buy or purchase, or is Atul's business anything where people can purchase things? Sometimes that's another good way.
Yeah, at the moment, I think only Indians can purchase it, to be honest.
I see.
But we're trying to revamp the whole website. And, like I said, it's always in process of changing things. At the moment, for people from the other countries, we do encourage the Amazon way of helping
us.
Yes,
that's the way I do it. I do it through Amazon each month. Things are sent up, bags of food, cat food,
and
things
like that. Yes, that's so important, because what we keep needing is food. What we keep needing is, like you said, bandages, or anything like a bed for the dogs, or anything that can help us, or the bowls, feeding bowls, because we've getting so many rescues in these last few months.
Oh, my goodness.
It's insane to see what's happening. And we really have started the sterilization drive now. So we're getting in about 8 to 10 dogs, on a Monday and a Friday, we try and get at least 10 dogs sterilized. We have another vet coming to assist us. So all these things require, resources.
Of course they do.
And just even to pay for, an extra vet or an extra staff, or there's so much that, the cleaning, the cooking, it's everything is a
it's
lot
huge.
I know.
Well, let's pray that some wonderful person that's listening can give you a wonderful grant, and that the government will step up and take care of this in a more effective way. We're coming to the close of our show. I thank you so much for staying up this late in India and being able to be on our show in order for us to share this very important information.
Thank you for having me, Kathleen.
My pleasure.
Getting WAG out there.
Yes, give Atul our very best.
I will do so, for sure.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kathleen. Have a lovely afternoon.
I will do that.
Thank you, and everybody behind the scenes for recording.
Yes. And thanks to Gary Null for making this show possible.
Yes, thank you very much for all those involved. Have a lovely day, everybody.
Indeed. All right.
Bye-bye.
Thank you,
Kathleen.
Everybody. Yes, bye-bye. And thanks, everybody, for listening. And please do something to help this wonderful organization. I thank you so much. It's Kathleen Francis saying bye-bye. And please come and listen again. Have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your day. And remember, it's waggoa.com. Thanks for listening. Take care. Bye-bye.